Hey, what's up? You're listening to the Geek Show Arcade.
What's up? What is this?
Lando's driving. That's what's up.
What's up?
Anything? Nothing?
Yeah,
boy,
I'm excited.
You guys suck at filling the long silences.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep rolling here and not give you guys a chance.
I love it.
Tony is just basking in the glory of the meltdown.
Feels good to not be in charge.
Yeah, so this is the, in case you didn't hear me, this is the Geek Show Arcade, where we talk about video games and games we like to play and all things video games, including graphics cards and things and more things.
My favorite.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and introduce the lovely panel, starting with my friend here, Tony.
Hey, I'm Quad T. Check me out on Twitter at Quad T Tony or on the Geek Show podcasts.
Next up, we have Lang.
Hey, everybody. It's Lang. I'm joining on the arcade. Just come find me on Instagram. That's really all I'm at. Gunpla _ Skyfire. And then I appear on here kind of like Casey Jones. Just looking weird and really cool every once in a while.
Yep. Owen's taking a week off. We miss you, Owen. We love you. But not as much as we love this guy. His name's Jaren.
Hi, I'm Jaren. You can find me on Geek Show Help Desk or on Twitter at Jaren. And we have a very lovely host with a magnificent beard that I can never grow myself. It's Lando.
Oh, thank you, Jaren. My name is Lando. I am the host with the most. And it's the best.
I love that confidence. I mean, it's misplaced, but I love it.
Yeah, it's like watching. I bet Tony's sitting there like you're trying to teach somebody like driver's ed and teaching them a parallel park. And they're like, oh, I can do this. And Tony gets out of the car and like, watch this.
guys, crank, watch crank, this.
Crank, crank.
Half of hosting is just the confidence. You just got to, exude confidence and you got it.
Yep. Yeah, exude that confidence.
All right, Jaren, is there any emails?
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's go.
Email. Nice.
Got an email from Joey, our new Lang, actually.
Joey.
Like he emails
Lang
more than...
Lang Jr.
Yeah. He says, howdy, my panel overseers and Arcadians. Hope you all are surviving the late stage.
How's that candy, Jaren?
Oh, it's good.
Jesus.
Who's the unprofessional one now, Jaren?
It's definitely Jaren.
It's making my mouth water. Mm.
The email
anyway,
or the candy?
Hope you all are surviving the late stage capitalist wastelands.
Nope.
Getting by.
This is an obvious Fallout themed email. I know the kids are all bopping to the video gaming display units these days. And I had a sugar bomb of a thought. I got tired of writing like this. If the bombs are coming and you have to choose what video games survive, what would you choose? Keep in mind, these have to be good games even 200 years from now. Thanks as always, and keep your thumbs to the sky, Vault Dwellers. P.S. My choices would be Tetris and Bioshock. Joey.
Wow.
Tetris is a solid choice.
Those are two very different games.
Definitely not Tetris.
I like the difference. I think it's funny that he said sugar bomb, and you're sitting there chewing on something.
Yeah.
On his own sugar bombs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'll go first. I think I would go with Baldur's Gate 3. And something that has... Well, Baldur's Gate 3 has really good replayability because of the way it's designed. And it's just amazing. I don't know. I don't know what else I would choose. That's rough.
Half-Life Alyx, Elden Ring. Those are my choices.
I think you guys got this all wrong. I think you guys are all wrong. You got to think about the future, right? This is the one or two games you get to take with you play for all times, right?
Baldur's Gate 3.
I think story-driven games like Baldur's Gate 3 will eventually get old.
Yep. Yeah, agreed.
I think Tetris games and arcade-driven games like that are... Where
they've already
got score.
No. They've already gotten old for me.
Tetris was old for me when I was like 8.
The longevity
so.
Is the way to go.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Can I do 3? I got 3.
Yeah, do 3.
Yeah.
100%.
Gosh. Street Fighter, StarCraft, and Halo.
StarCraft is a great choice.
Those three.
Well,
that's a good variety.
Good range, and
those are good.
Yeah.
I would probably have to go with a first-person shooter of some sort. See, then the question is, are you alone, or or are you? Is there the possibility of like LAN multiplayer with other people?
That changes things.
Because is this a desert island type question, or is this a vault type question? Because in the vault, you have hundreds of people. So if multiplayer is on the table, then I would probably go with
Halo. Super Smash Brothers.
Oh no, bad choice.
Halo Infinite. I think the Halo Infinite multiplayer has really turned into something really good. So there's my choices: Baldur's Gate 3 and Halo Infinite.
But Halo goes to my point. It's an arcade type game that you're not really. It's not story driven. It's an arcade game.
There is a story mode in Halo, where you play through a campaign.
I don't know that. I want to play multiplayer.
Judas Priest.
Halo has always been a multiplayer experience for me. I've never played the story.
Oh, well, there's one every time. every time. Version has a story.
I just go, you know, click down one.
They all kind of tie together, too.
You want to know what happened to me, though? When I was playing through Halo, I think it was Halo 2, something happened, and I got the story, like, all out of order. And ever since then, I've been like, meh, I don't care about the story.
I never enjoyed the Halo stories. The TV series is the best Halo story I've ever seen, which is probably not what most people want to hear.
Well, the problem with the Halo story, in my opinion, is just that what makes it good is the world building, not as much the actual story. Because the story is basically, aliens want to kill us, we need to defend ourselves. You know, okay, now we need to take the fight to them and make sure that they don't try to get us anymore. So,
and then team up with these aliens to get the other aliens.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's not like it's super inspired, but the world building for Halo is pretty rad with the Covenant and the... And the Prometheans and the character development between Cortana and Master Chief and stuff like that. So,
I'm a sucker for the Cortana Chief relationship.
Oh yeah,
fair enough. That the that Holy note, Mel, Jaren. Oh, sorry.
Half-Life Alyx and Elden Ring.
There you go.
That's my answer. Yeah.
Good answer.
What were you gonna say, Ling?
I was gonna say, come find me, Cuddle Beastie. If anyone wants to play Halo Infinite,
there you go.
The anything else, Jaren?
No, if there was, I'd be reading it right now.
Oh, perfect.
Who's driving this?
I don't know.
I am, but Jaren's being difficult. I think it's on purpose, to be honest with you.
You think?
Let's move on to
I guarantee you it is.
I'm not doing it on purpose.
Yes, you are. Let's move on. Since we're talking about TV shows, let's talk about the Fallout TV show.
Oh,
because this is
man.
One of those things I am super stoked about.
This is one of those rare gems that we're actually seeing more of lately.
I was going to say, they're becoming less rare.
Yeah, where the conversion from one medium to another hasn't even lost a step. In fact, it might even be better. Because Fallout, in my opinion, is kind of the same as Halo. The Fallout world building is what's so awesome about the games.
Yeah, 100%.
The story aspect of it is good, not great, except for in New Vegas. That has a really cool story.
I liked Fallout 3's story.
It was all right. It was fine. You know, I would say it was above average, but it's not like a story that you just remember and go back to.
That's fair.
For how awesome it
was. Fallout 3 does not start strong. I started it for the first time this last week. You start out as a baby. You're literally a baby walking around in a crib. Then it goes to like being a 6-year-old, 10-year-old, 16-year-old. Oh my goodness.
It's a product of its time.
Yep.
You know. But, what was I saying? Anyway, Fallout TV show,
the world buildings rocks.
I've watched 6 of the 8 episodes, and every episode I enjoy more than the one before it.
Watched all 8, and they are phenomenal. And they get, like, the 8th episode, I want to talk about it. I want to talk about details. The payoff for the show is well worth it, Tony. I'm so excited for you.
I'm excited.
To see the 8th episode.
Walton Goggins he was already a favorite actor of mine, and this just further cements how awesome he is as the ghoul.
I thought all the acting was really well done in the show.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Agreed. You had your hand up, Lang.
I did. I'm a complete Fallout virgin. So, if you're recommending, do I hop on Steam right now and get one of the Fallouts they're on sale? Like,
yep.
Fallout 4 is $5.
100%.
Fallout 76 is $8.
I think you can get all of them for like $22.
$22.
Fallout franchise. In a bundle. Well, the Fallout franchise, like Humble Bundle? Because this one says.
No, it's a bundle on Steam, isn't it?
It's on Fanatical.
Fanatical.com.
Yep. And okay, use the code Omen to get another 10% off.
Well, yeah, I would absolutely recommend it.
Well, going back, I think my main question is game or show first?
Oh, show doesn't first. Matter. For sure. Because
doesn't matter.
You're gonna get into the show a lot easier than a lot quicker than you get into the games. The games are sprawling Bethesda RPGs, and so it takes 2, 3, 4 hours before you really feel like you're getting into the nitty-gritty of the game and enjoying it. Whereas with the show, man, that first episode, bam, you're in it. So.
Well, not only that, but the cool part about the Fallout stories and all the games is they're all separate. None of them continue on from other ones. They're all independent, standalone stories. And that's also true with the show, which I think made the show even better, right? Because it wasn't trying to copy a story that's already been told.
Right.
It told its own story.
But the way they do it, it's all within the same universe.
Yep.
And there's world building through lines.
The lore is the same throughout
handled stories so well.
Right? Vault-Tec is always the thing. And you learn more about Vault-Tec through every story, through every game you play.
Yeah, yeah. It's just...
And so on and so forth. It's so good.
This TV show has been an absolute banger. 10 out of 10 so far for me. And I can't recommend it enough to anyone that enjoys science fiction. The only thing I will say is if you are squeamish...
yes.
There is some crazy graphic gore in some of the scenes. I would say the only shows
that are to The Boys.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Boys and Invincible. Though the gore on display in those shows is what you'd expect from some of the scenes
Although,
in Fallout.
To be fair, I think the first episode in my opinion, I think is the gory. I mean, they're all got some gory stuff to them, but the first one by far is the goriest.
The first one has the most gore, but it's not the most shocking. I'd say there's other scenes that are more shocking that are a lot shorter.
Although, I don't know, the first episode, and I'm going to mention this specifically because it's the first episode, so it's not a huge thing.
Yeah.
When the girl has the fork in her eye.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Boy, howdy.
Not
she's
doing
nobody,
it.
Nobody, nope, nope. Nobody, nope, nope.
But here's the thing.
Does it move?
A teeny bit. There's a little bit of wobbling, but it's not like slow and methodical. It's just like in the heat of the moment, bam, fork in the eye. But she gets up and keeps fighting, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, this show does a really good job balancing the comedy with with the tensity. Tensity?
Which,
that's not a word.
With the
tense moments.
Yes,
suspense,
and. That's a very Fallout game thing as well.
Yep.
When you're playing Fallout, you're like, oh man, this is some freaking, dour, serious stuff. And then something crazy will happen that just is like, oh my gosh, that was hilarious. So yeah, can't recommend it enough.
The only other thing I want to talk about in regards to the show is there's been some debate online about dropping all the episodes at once. And I think you and I, Tony, have some differing opinions on this.
I think it was a good idea to drop all the episodes of season one at once, but I think for season two, they should spread it out to a weekly release cadence because it increases the length of time people are going to be talking about the show.
Tony, you can't have like one foot on each side of the line of the sand on this.
Come on. I just did. Normally I support weekly just in general.
I think that's the dumbest thing in the entire world.
I don't. I disagree.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to give you my argument here. I have a pretty okay argument here, I think.
Let's hear it.
Okay, Lando.
Let's hear what you got to say.
One of the things that really drew me into, quote-unquote, cord-cutting and streaming services is it got away from appointment-based TV. I think appointment-based TV is the worst, right? Netflix, all these other streaming platforms... Let me watch TV when I want to watch the TV. It was on demand,
can watch it whenever you want after a certain day.
No, I can't. No. And that's dumb. That's still back to appointment-based watching whenever I want. That's you straddling the line,
Tony. But what about when
stupid.
The entire season releases? You still have to wait for it to come out.
Right, but then the whole thing is out, and I can watch it and pace it at my own pace.
Here's why. I
have one more point to make.
Sure, go ahead.
Do you know why it's 8 episodes and not more or less?
Because that's how long they needed to tell the story.
perchance.
I promise you that.
Most of them are. Have you ever noticed that most new releases are 8 episodes or more?
Even
the weekly episodes one.
Everything's 8 or 10.
It's because it requires you to buy on the weekly release schedule, which is stupid. It requires you to pay for 2 months, not just one. They get more money.
Why did you put that in air quotes?
That is
weekly schedule.
I'm going to say
that's the appointment-based nonsense that Tony's.
I'm going to say that's baloney.
Tony doesn't want
to
log up at once. It is. Baloney. It's all about them making more money.
No, because it was 8 or 10 episodes long before streaming had switched back to a weekly cadence. When it was always.
It's about capitalism.
You don't care.
You're wrong.
I don't think so. So here's why I like weekly cadence release. Because you watch an episode and everyone, all your friends, have a week to watch it as well. And you guys can talk about it. Because
you're at the same spot. And you know
you're at the same spot. And so you can talk about how cool it is and what you think's going to happen. And then I'll admit it, I enjoy a bit of anticipation. Half the fun of building a new computer is figuring out what parts you're going to use and imagining what else you're going to do with it.
What just happened?
Now, the same thing.
You can't compare building a computer to watching
TV.
I'm
doing it right
now. Those are two different things.
Like X-Men 97 last week, it had a crazy ending. And Tony and I were just talking about it.
I am 1,000% not watching X-Men 97 until I can watch them all at once. Because I don't want to wait.
Oh, boo. That's, boo.
You should definitely get on that, man.
I hope it gets spoiled on some. Oh, so good.
It is.
I've heard it's great, but
X-Men
I don't want to wait for
fantastic.
It. I hate the weekly schedule stuff. This is what I do on all the weekly shows. I wait till they're all aired, and then I can watch it on my schedule on my time.
Okay, so it sounds like weekly is fine for you then.
Yeah, weekly's okay.
Yeah.
So because you can watch them all at the end.
Okay, are you a rewatcher though, Lando? Like, do you go back to shows that you really like?
Yeah, I do. I've watched Scrubs probably 5 or 6 times. I've watched Seinfeld 2 or 3 times.
Okay, so do you binge those or do you go piece by piece then?
I binge
them. When you go to the rewatch?
I binge them.
Wow.
Who are you?
Yeah.
I like binging. But I also like spreading them out too. Like, so when I watched Fallout, I didn't watch them all in one night. I spread it over the course of 4 days.
So if you just waited until they released all the episodes after episode 8, you could still do that over the course of 4 days.
I could, but why wait? Why just drop them all at the same time? You can have it both ways, Tony. Here's how you have it both ways. You can be watching Fallout once a week. Just do it by yourself. You have no self-control is what you're really telling me.
No, because I don't know what my friends are watching, how far they are and how far they've gotten so far. So.
How'd you have, Tony, if you would have gotten on the Super Secret Slack and been like, hey, you know what? I know Fallout's being binged, but let's all watch together so we can talk about it, not spoil each other. I would have been on board for that.
Not going to work.
Why not? Are we not good friends?
Lando, I'm going to invite you to watch X-Men with me.
Let's do it.
I'm going to catch up
tonight. Let's do it. If you want to talk about X-Men, let's do it. I'll catch up, and we'll all start watching it week by week with you.
But you see, the problem is, Lando, is if we do it weekly and then you just wait till the end to watch them all, everyone gets what they want. You can watch them all at the end, and we can watch them week by week. That's the best of both worlds.
The other way it works too, Tony. If the algorithm releases it once, you just watch them week by week, and we get the best of both worlds. Yes, it
does. Work.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Sorry, man. Uh-uh.
Both ways work for both ways, but my way's better.
Both ways work for both ways.
Put that on a t-shirt. Both ways work for both ways. Lambo.
Travis Pyman, please make that sticker. Make that sticker.
I will buy that sticker.
And I will personally come out and find Landon's car and put it right on the back.
All right.
Anyway,
all right.
Interesting. Fun conversation.
We're going to keep this train on the rails because Tony had to derail it. Let's talk about special stats real quick.
My logic. So.
The last thing about the TV show.
This is cool. The thing about Fallout is it's a RPG, and so you have different levels for different stats. And there's been a lot of back and forth since it came out. What level are these characters? And what is it? Bethesda actually released these characters in one of their games called Fallout Shelter, which has been out for a number of years. It's basically you play as an overseer, and you get to build... you're over a shelter, a fall area, a vault, and you get to build the vault and, you know, expand it and keep the people alive and whatnot. And they put on what these characters from the show would be level wise. And some people disagree with this, but, you know, this is straight from Bethesda. So they've added Lucy, the ghoul, Maximus, and Ma June to the vault, Fallout shelter. And special is the acronym for the different ability strengths. And each one, so S is strength, P is perception, E is endurance, C is charisma, I is intelligence, A is agility, and L is luck. Almost like they planned it that way.
How special are you?
It's weird, yeah. And so Lucy gets a 4 for strength, a 7 for perception, a 6 for endurance, a 5 for charisma, a 6 for intelligence, a 5 for agility, and a 7 for luck. That's a pretty well-rounded character. Lang.
What's the scale go up to? Did I hear that?
10?
It goes up to 10, yeah. So she's pretty well-rounded. And then you got the ghoul, who gets a 5 on strength, a 6 on perception, 7 on endurance, 7 on charisma, which is interesting because he's such a jerk. A 4 on intelligence, a 7 for agility, and a 4 for luck. Not very lucky. Maximus, the Wasteland's favorite himbo, which I love his character, by the way, and the guy that plays him is so good.
Yeah.
He gets a higher strength rating at 7, a 6 for perception, a 6 for endurance, a 5 for charisma, because he's not very... he says a lot of dumb things, and it's hilarious. 4 for intelligence, but a 7 for agility and a 5 for luck. And then Ma June, you got a 5 for strength, a 7 for perception, a 5 for endurance, a 7 for charisma, a 6 for intelligence, a 4 for agility, and a 6 for luck. So, yeah, and I'd say that reflects fairly well with what we see on the show. I think they did a good job kind of translating that to the game. Yeah. So...
I'll bet
there's a massive uptick in Fallout game sales because of the TV show and the fact that they're so cheap right now on sale. If you don't have those games, even if you have just a passing interest in trying them out, grab them for a couple bucks, you know, and give it a shot. They're a lot of fun.
I recommend starting with New Vegas. I've never played it, but I've heard that's the one to start with.
Yeah, New Vegas has the best story, but it plays the clunkiest. So it's probably best to start there, because then you can go to 3, where it plays better, but the story is a little weaker. And then 4, in my opinion, doesn't have that great of a story, but it is fantastic for gameplay and exploration. Super good.
Yeah, I'd agree with that assessment full-heartedly. All right, Lang. I want to talk about fighting games.
I just want to say I love them. They're great.
Perfect. That's so,
I hope in the future, because I really actually follow a lot of the tournaments and stuff. I wanted to give a quick shout out. Do you guys remember Cody Labouche, Geek Show fan? Yeah, he actually used to get into some of the tournaments for Street Fighter. Oh. So I feel fighting games are like live chess in a way. I follow some of the Evo. So if you think about it, because chess has different moves, but that's how I kind of feel like it is. But I thought it was interesting because I wanted to bring up just real quick fighting games, and also I put in the show notes just the most played fighting games on Steam, and I thought it was very interesting that the brand ones, for example, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, and Tekken, were not in the number one or two spot, which I expected.
Yeah.
There's one which I had never even heard of, Naraka Blade Point, which is, I have never even heard of it.
And it's way ahead.
Well, yeah. And I think that has to do with it being big in Asia, because it's a NetEase game, which is a Chinese company.
But I've actually been, this is what kind of blew my mind. I've actually been playing Brawlhalla for the last couple of weeks quite a bit. And it's, have anyone on the panel played Brawlhalla?
Negative.
How can I explain this? It's an arena fighter like a Smash Brothers. The controls are a little different. It's a lot more simplistic. I'm the sucker when it has a lot of different skins, accessories, things like that. This game has Star Wars characters, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, wrestlers, like a lot of them. But it's very pay exorbitant amounts to get the characters. They kind of cycle them through and things like that. But all in all, I found it kind of interesting that the branded ones were not in the number one or two, but the number three is Tekken, and number four is the new Street Fighter, which they, I'll just throw it out there, they are doing Evo 8 in Japan later this month, and then it's going to be happening July. I do follow those, and I love it. It's wonderful hype, and people get into it. So, yeah.
Another point for Naraka is it's free to play.
Ah, nice. That would
be a low barrier of entry. Yep.
Some fighting games I love. Others, I not so much. Like the fighting games where you have to learn combos for every single character, those ones aren't my favorite.
Those are hard, yeah.
Yeah, but like games like Smash Brothers or like 3D fighter games like Power Stone back in the day, I absolutely love those. Mm. They're great.
I feel like the Power Stone style of games has kind of just died off.
Yeah, they're non-existent now.
Yeah.
But it was so fun. I loved Power Stone.
It was cool, yep.
Yeah, for this, the last couple of years, it's been surprising. People are kind of upset for EVO, the big fighting championship. They took out Smash Brothers. They don't do that one anymore.
Why did they remove that?
I don't know. Like that, they should bring it back. And they've done that a couple of times where they pull a few and then bring them back, just kind of like, it's back, you know?
Hmm.
Just like an old wrestler coming back kind of a thing. Like they brought a couple of years ago, I want to say right when the pandemic hit, they were going to bring back Marvel versus Capcom 2. Which was a great classic, and they brought it back, and lots of the pros learned from that. So, anyways, me just showing how much I love fighting games.
Yeah. Big fan.
Huge fan.
All right. I'm glad you guys like fighting games. They've never been my cup of tea. It just feels like mashing buttons, and I get nowhere with them.
Well, that's why I like games like Smash Brothers, where...
Even Smash Brothers, it's I get nowhere.
What do you call it? Every character's combos, they're not even really combos. They're the same.
Just the moves.
They just do different things.
Yeah.
So you only have to learn one set of button presses, and you just need to know what those do for each character. It's a lot easier to wrap around.
Each character's, like, they have different advantages, so you may want to use down and B on one character, but not on the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see, I've never been my thing, unfortunately. But I appreciate people who do like it and can get into it and can learn and be good at it. Because I think the more I've thought about it since Ling said it just a moment ago, it's like comparing it to chess makes more and more sense in my brain.
Mm-hmm. Like speed chess, but super speedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why James is much better at it than I am.
And going to the tournaments, seeing the tournaments, it's pretty fun and great comebacks, great stories. I love it. So,
nice. Yeah.
All right. I want to cover some follow up from a previous episode. We've talked about how, the App Store and iOS is now able to accept emulators, right?
It feels like it should be a help desk story.
I knew Jaren was going to do that.
You're just mad because I stole your stories, aren't you? I found these ones first. So we had the first emulator game approved by Apple and then quickly removed by Apple, but not for the reason you'd think. So this it was an app called IGBA.
Sounds like a Game Boy emulator.
Yep, it was a Game Boy emulator, and it was originally approved, but then later Apple removed it, and Apple cited two App Store guidelines. One, copyright section 5.2, and spam section 4.3. But the copyright section was not for the ability to run copyrighted ROMs. It was for the fact that it was a copyright infringement on another app called GBA for iOS.
Oh, so they copied another emulator is what it's saying.
They copied another emulator, and that's why it was taken down. And also, it was very, very spammy with ads.
Yeah.
So Apple did not like those reasons. So
it sounds like you'll be able to play ROMs that you download on these emulators.
Yeah, I stand corrected because I totally thought they would not allow this. But, oh boy, howdy, this has me excited.
Interesting.
And here's some more interesting news. There was another one that was approved for the NES emulator that was on the Apple App Store today. And it was actually on the App Store for a brief moment in time. But it was not removed by Apple this time. This time, the developer themselves removed the app because they just started feeling a little uncomfortable with it because of the whole...
they got afraid of Nintendo is what you're saying?
Yep.
I can't say that I blame him.
Yeah.
But. So, couple released games, couple removed or not or apps, couple removed apps, but not for the reasons we quite thought yet.
So, for me personally, I have really no desire to have another app store on my phone anymore if emulators indeed are allowed, like they seem to be. It's great. I'm very very happy with this development.
Yep. So, we'll see where this goes. At the moment, there's no emulator apps for iOS, but there could be very soon. So we'll see where this goes. That's the follow-up, or the real-time follow-up on that story, which I think is interesting. Cool. Let's talk about game preservation. That seems to be a theme on the show from time to time.
Yeah, and Xbox has been pretty good with this in the past with the Xbox One and Xbox One X. They emulated the Xbox 360 and the original Xbox so that you could play games that you own on the Xbox One system, and it carried forward to the Series X and Series S. So they've had this in mind in the past, but apparently that team either was disbanded or they just haven't done anything last couple of years. If so,
maybe
I want that
put
job.
On other projects.
Yeah.
Get paid to not do anything.
Anyway, Sarah Bond, the Xbox president, she has set up a team dedicated to game preservation and forward compatibility. On the surface, this doesn't sound like that big of a deal, but if you think about it for a little bit, it has quite interesting ramifications. Because the last two consoles that have been out, they have been x86 AMD consoles, both on Sony and Microsoft's side of the house. So game compatibility between PS4 and PS5 and Xbox One and Xbox Series, it was pretty much a given because it was the same architecture, pretty much the same software, you know, it was easy.
Very similar OS, if not the same.
Yeah. You don't really need to worry about game preservation if your next console is also going to be a x86 AMD system. Because they already did much of that work with the Xbox 360 and Xbox One back compat stuff. Could this mean that the next Xbox, who Sarah Bond has said is going to be the biggest technological leap ever in a generation, which I still find hard to believe, could it be that this will be a different architecture, a.k.a. maybe ARM?
They're going back to PowerPC. I can feel it.
Yeah, PowerPC. that's exciting because maybe they partner with NVIDIA on this one, and that's how they achieve the greatest technological leap in a generation.
Could you imagine the performance, what's the word I'm looking for? Not gains, but like if you were to compare the performance of a console that ran off of the new NVIDIA GPUs versus the AMD GPUs, like
it would be
the delta would be massive.
Yeah. Yeah. And with recent rumors also of Microsoft finally supporting ARM in a much better way, that's to be seen still. Yeah. They've claimed this many times before, so hopefully they actually mean it this time. So all signs are pointing, in my opinion, to a different architecture on the next Xbox, probably ARM, and they have this preservation team put together so that games that you bought on previous systems will work on this new architecture.
That's very cool.
And it's not like they haven't done this before because, as Jaren mentioned, the 360 games work on Xbox One and Xbox Series. Those are PowerPC architecture. Those aren't x86. And so they already have set a good precedent of creating a translation layer or custom whatever to make architecture previous architecture games work on new architecture systems. So
it's been just so long since consoles were interesting technologically. Yep. Xbox 360 and Xbox, those were way overpowered at the time. Even compared to PCs.
Yeah. When the 360 came out and it was, what was it, like $400, I think, or I think it was $400 when the 360 Xbox came out. Yeah. No, the 360. And you were playing games in as good of fidelity and frame rate as PCs that cost three times as much. because of the just the way that the system was made and the way that the developers could take advantage of that.
I think Xbox was taking a haircut on them too and making up for it in other places.
Oh, I'm sure they were, and they do that every generation, but we're talking about a haircut of maybe $100 per system, which adds up to be, you know, millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But so even if you factor that in, you're talking about a $600 system or a $500 system performing on the same level as a $1,500 PC. But we haven't seen that since then, you know.
Yeah. And if this happens, it would make handheld PCs a lot more performant.
Oh yeah.
Because there are more options out there other than AMD. And AMD's they're great and stuff, but NVIDIA is just much better.
That's just the way it is at this point, you know.
Yeah.
NVIDIA is putting a lot more money into the R&D side of machine learning and ray tracing hardware and software. I'll bet you NVIDIA's software development budget is more than AMD's entire GPU, you know, development budget.
Yeah. And it would be nice to have a handheld that actually sips power when it's in sleep mode rather than taking like 8% per day from the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Boo. Okie dokie. Moving right along, Tony, talk to me about Ubisoft deleting games. This sounds bad.
So it's just another reminder that we don't actually own anything as far as games go when you buy digital. The game The Crew from Ubisoft is being actively deleted by Ubisoft from people's libraries that bought the game years ago.
As if people need another reason to hate Ubisoft right now.
I know,
come
right?
on, Ubisoft.
It's just bad decisions left and right from that company. It's wild. But yeah, they basically, I think it was a little while back, they announced that The Crew would be, they'd be shutting down the servers, so you wouldn't be able to play it anyway.
Did
online.
They not have an offline mode at all?
I don't think that they did.
It's an online-only racing game, according to the article here.
Yeah, it is one that is a persistent online-only type of racing game. But even that being said, why would you, as a company, delete those from someone's library? What do you gain from that other than bad publicity?
Right.
You know, it's just foolish. So there you go. If you bought The Crew, that's a bummer. Sorry. Hope you had fun with it while it was there, because it won't be anymore.
Yeah, but it wasn't playable, but still, the bad publicity is what makes this bad. Yeah.
Right, but people could have set up private their own servers for this.
There's lots of games that end up going that route, like when Titanfall 2's servers crapped out and EA didn't want to put any money into fixing them for a long time, you had people that set up private servers that could do that. And there's a big resurgence for whatever reason right now for a game by I can't remember the name of the company, but Cliff Blazinski, he's the guy that he worked for Epic for quite a while. He's the guy that started, or one of the main guys behind, the Gears of War games. Anyway, he released another game called Lawbreakers a couple years back. It didn't do very well. It was an online multiplayer game. And I think within like 18 months, they closed the servers down. Well, for whatever reason, that's seen a massive resurgence with people creating private servers, hosting private servers so people can get on and play Lawbreakers, this old game from Cliff Blazinski's defunct development team. And so, yeah, even though they had a game that didn't work, someone was able to make it work, you know?
Well, there you go. Cool. Thank you, Tony. Tell me more about Sony's and the PS5s.
PS5 Pro?
That's what I'm talking about.
That's the one. Sony just released kind of a, I don't know if it was released or if it was leaked and they confirmed it. But they are pushing, just like they did last generation with PS4 Pro, PS5 Pro exclusive graphics modes and things like that that the games will have to be certified for to carry the moniker. And the thing about these PS5 Pro, quote, enhanced labels, the things that they need, it's a very wide net. You can do almost anything to make these games qualify for the enhanced mode. You can either have the frame rate go from a 30 to a 60. You can have a resolution go higher than it would on a regular PS5. You can implement more ray tracing, all of those kind of things to get that label. The one thing that was interesting, though, that they said did not qualify for the label is if the game already uses variable rate shading, not variable rate shading, variable rate resolution. You can't just...
Dynamic resolution?
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Man, too many
Thanks,
acronyms.
Thanks, Jaren.
So they said you can't just have that automatically boost up to a higher resolution and get the moniker, get the label. You have to actually go in and, you know, basically you have to go in and give it a higher limit to its lower bounds if you want to qualify for that certification, which is a really interesting kind of weird thing to make up, but whatever. Anyway, so that's what you can expect from the PS5. It looks like some games that will go from 30 to 60 FPS or higher resolution or more graphical prettiness. Ta-da. The end.
Yeah, it's not very compelling. I hope there's more to it than what it seems like right now.
Yeah, I think the special sauce is going to be if PSSR is any good. That their machine learning based DLSS type implementation. That'll be, if that shows off really really good, then that'll be interesting. But everything else is kind of meh.
Like, I'm curious how good that will be versus the future FSR that AMD has teased. Like,
I hope
if it'll be.
I hope that's good too.
I hope it is,
because FSR2 still is not that great.
But if the new version of FSR is reasonable, would you even notice PSSR from a couch to TV distance? Mm-hmm. I'm curious about that.
That's a good question. I would say that it would be more, the question more would lie on which one is cheaper latency or power wise, because PSSR is supposed to take advantage of specific hardware that they're baking into the PS5. Whereas
you get a few more frames, that's about it.
That's what I mean. Will you get more frames using PSSR and get the same quality or better than FSR 2.2 or whatever they're going to call it? So I don't know. Remains to be seen. We'll know more in a few months at the end of the year.
All right. Well, thank you guys. It has been a great show. I forgot to do a lightning round, unfortunately.
That was a lightning round in and of itself right there.
Waiting for the thunder.
Well, luckily for you, we went over every story, so there is no lightning round.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's the end of the show. But before we go, we're talking about Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/helpdeskarcade and give us some money, you get some extra special benefits, including access to the super secret Discord channel, which is pretty awesome. You get the both shows plus the in-between show early. All in one with a super secret RSS feed that you can plug into your podcatcher app, which is an excellent way to listen to our shows. What else do they get? Shout out to the show?
They get a shout out if they donate $6 a month or more.
I feel like there's one more I'm missing. Anyway, it'll come back to me. But if you donate $1 or more a month, no, $6 or more a month, more a month. I'll get this, guys. I promise.
He's unraveling.
You get an extra special shout out on the show.
Jaren has it for us now. Car crash noise. Dang it.
Jaren, do shout outs. Thanks.
Thank you, dude. David Broshinsky, Connor Keesaw, and Wiffleball Tony. Thank you, guys. You're so great. Jason Eatman, K. Onda Cardinal, Lamborghini, Andy Bird, Be the 8-Year-Old, Tony, the Home Theater Geek, Travis Johnson, by Geek Show Arcade Help Desk stickers at Pie Man Graphics on Etsy. All proceeds go to Lee George Cade's medical bills. Jeremy, No Name No Color, Keslo, Eric Steinman, Eric Cruz, The In-Between Tech Rating +5, Matt Nelson, Harry Patch, Adam, Aaron Faulkner, Stuart Lloyd. History is there for you to learn from or repeat. Your choice, Ryan M. and Adam Hecht.
Excellent. Thank you for donating and helping keeping this show going. We appreciate you and all that you do. Tony, play the music.
Oh.
You gotta press the red button, Tony. You had one job to do. All right, Jaron, take us out.
Hey, we hope you care.